Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, November 26, 2015, Thanksgiving Day. Now, for those of you who are not in America, and maybe even for some of you who are in America, Thanksgiving is an American tradition where we pause to reflect in thankfulness about the many blessings that we have in this country, to thank God for those blessings, and to think back and celebrate a time when two different people, two different cultures came together, celebrated in peace. Today we have the day off and we are taking time with our families, and so we want to play for you some highlights of some interviews that we've had recently. We've got Matt Drudge's visit here to the InfoWars studio, very important, very interesting interview. We have a report from John Bowne on how Iceland jailed their bankers when they violated the law instead of bailing them out. We have Michelle Roden, who is with Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccines. She had some amazing revelations about what happens with premature infants. So stick around. We have a lot of special reports I think you'll enjoy. We'll be right back.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
All right, folks, Alex Jones here back live well into the third hour. I did not do this as a stunt, neither did Matt Drudge. He is here. We got a hot mic over there. He wants to stay literally in the shadows behind a curtain. But this is the king of being able to push a story out and make it the number one story in the world. They even admit that in the New York Times, that he has more readers on politics and news than Facebook, the New York Times, and the Washington Post, LA Times put together. He's got some of our stories where the shooter himself said he was on a bunch of drugs. He's linked to that today. And that's the story they don't want out there, or the story where CNN took a mixed racial Christian hater and turned him into a right-wing white supremacist and turned him white. They don't want people knowing that, but Matt Drudge and his great crew can link to alternative stories, foreign stories, mainstream stories, photos, mugshots, and really just focus on what Matt Drudge thinks is interesting. And the public tends to agree with him that what he focuses in on is really catching the zeitgeist or the pulse of the people. So he might have 50 links every day where Facebook has 500 million, but he has more traffic. That is the true David versus Goliath story, and this is not scripted. I have no idea where I should go. Matt Drudge, I guess you're here for ACL, or why are you in Austin, Texas?
Well, you were just talking about Facebook, and thanks again for having me here. I'm not on Facebook. I don't do the socials. I've got that little Twitter thing. Even that's kind of disgusting. You know, I've been doing the internet as long as you've been doing this radio show, Alex, literally every day, as you have literally every day, practically. I think you've taken a little more time off than I have, actually.
Yes, I've kind of gone.
And I can't say that about many people, because you are a peer without peer. And I'll tell you, I was there before Facebook. I was there before CNN.com. I was there before mostly all of them. I have a very clear perception what the internet is. In my mind, I'm free. I'm not defined by what they say the internet is, meaning Goldman Sachs, meaning who they invest in for the latest startup, meaning the latest BuzzFeed or Salon or Gawker. All, well, Gawker's more independent. But there's a lot of corporate makeover of the internet that I have not adapted to. Simply put, I'm friends with some of them. When I go to New York, I make the Sixth Avenue rounds, but I am not a part of that system. I am a free thinker. I'm an American. I'm very concerned with what's happening. So I just give it my all. I've learned how to take care of myself and detach from outcomes, because otherwise you can't survive. And I don't know where you are on that topic.
I just follow my instinct, because they always tell us how to adapt to be successful, but really we're just adapting to their mindset to be their slaves.
I don't.
No, you don't.
I have remained completely independent from all of them. All of them. I am not influenced by any of them. I need no traffic from Google. I don't care if I get one traffic referral from Google or Bing or Yahoo or any of these others. It's always been that way. Now, if you think of that setup, how rare that is, because everybody is so hungry for referrals, for likes. I don't need to be liked. I don't need to be liked at all. I don't care if there's a button right there at the top of Drudge saying like or dislike. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Doesn't mean anything. Now, I hope that you come. Doesn't mean you necessarily have to like what I have up there. Now, where I've had a lot of success is I'm getting people from both sides of the aisle. They've always said, oh, he's a right-wing gossip monger, mainly because of Lewinsky in those years, which, by the way, are back. Why aren't we seeing Hillary's lovers? Excuse me. Why aren't we seeing Hillary's lovers?
It's a good question.
Where's the cover-up on this? So many issues that are suppressed on a daily basis. So that's what I try to do every morning.
Incredible. Well, it's amazing to have you here in Austin, Texas. And I tell you, you certainly know how to make an entrance. I'm in a 70-second break, and I turn around, and there's Matt Drudge, just boom. I tell you, I almost had a heart attack, a good one. My cousin said he's never seen me look like that. What was the word, Buckley, you used? And then I was flabbergasted. I was flabbergasted. You used the word flabbergasted. Well, I tell you, this is like the biggest Christmas present early ever, because I just admire true independence. And I got to tell you, Matt, and you know this with your crew, and Congress knows this, we wouldn't have won some of these gun battles, some of these border battles, some of these energy battles, and we've lost some too, but we would have lost so many of them if it wasn't for the focal point. And even the White House and the Democrats admit, because I know you're saying you're nonpartisan. I mean, I would guess you're more of a libertarian. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're just a freedom guy.
I can't be controlled. I cannot be controlled. There are no interests here but what I see as the world events. Period. That is the truth of the situation.
Well, they hate the fact that they can't control the agenda. The Pentagon has briefings with the head of PSYOPs, as you know, saying we've got to stop Drudge changing the subject and showing when we're lying. I mean, that's when you know that's crazy town. When you get, what is it like? Is it surreal to think back to something you started back in the early 90s has now grown into this?
Well, no, because it's been every day. So it just like it's happened so organically. It started with one reader. I don't know who that one reader was, but it started with one reader. I've never placed an ad anywhere, ever. This has all been a true organic reader to reader to reader to reader. Yes, I dabbled in the corporate with the Fox News show and the Clear Channel radio show for 9 years. But even that, the website was on its own terms and remains so to this very minute.
Well, you've only gotten bigger since you stopped.
Well, I don't know, because this is another thing. The measurements that we have, this is another bogus thing. Yesterday they released on the APA wire, Twitter followers. Hillary is the queen of the Twitters with 4.9 million. They don't say how many are fake. They don't say how many are
droid. They admit the first ladies is like 80% fake.
Well, the AP did not do that, Alex. So this whole thing, this whole socials, these socials, you know, Beats One Music, which I'm obsessed with, which has been launched on Apple, which is probably one of the best things they've done since Steve Jobs died. One radio station. Interesting. They don't know how many listeners they have. I heard some streams they were down to 5,000 an hour. This whole social media stuff is bogus. Facebook, we have 2 billion users. This is garbage. This is designed to demoralize the individual. I'll never have 2 billion followers. The internet is what you make of it. It's the same battle as it was in the beginning. I remember having this argument with Britt Hume once live on C-SPAN. He goes, oh, the internet's all UFOs and all this crap. And I said, no, the internet is what you make of it. In the beginning, they were dismissing the internet. They were poo-pooing it.
And isn't that good for us that for so long they were in arrogant denial? And they seem like they still kind of are in arrogant denial.
No, now they make it over in their image. Now it's these endless, monotonous tweets. Meaningless. To me. It's just a lot of gnats, a lot of confusion. When the reality of the situation is life on Earth has not changed. We need facts. We need events. We need specifics on things. Not all this confusion. It's almost they've made the internet over in their image, these corporations. And I think they're failing, quite
frankly. Skip the break. Oh, sorry, Matt. Go ahead. I had to interrupt. You say you think they're failing?
I think they're failing to the point. This is a whole nother discussion on how sick are the American people right now. I've been saying they could put Hillary Clinton's brain in a jar in the Oval Office and she'd be elected. People are really sick. I think you know this deep in your soul, and this is why you get demoralized here on this very set.
Yeah, I shouldn't. Yeah.
People are sick. How they've got here, you've been on a wonderful arc over almost decades now, explaining why people are and have become so sick. That being said, people are willing to be made over in the image of these corporations. The reason there's so much anger online also is a newspaper like the Washington Post will leave a comment section. They don't care what you're saying. They don't care what you're thinking. That's why you get this anger that, oh, I have to be, I'm out here as a citizen and I'm operating on in their playground. Make your own playground. The reason I'm here, Alex, is you've made your own playground. This is a figment of your imagination. And the Drudge Report is mine. It is a very simple thesis. You are what you dream you are and become. And I wish Americans would get out of the sickness and just become greater. And
well, that's profound. I mean, because if we start creating our own maps, our own world, our own vision, then there's no way for these cultural tyrants to program us. And that's why they're pushing so hard to get more outrageous. I mean, is this the beginning of the end?
And to operate in their playgrounds. So you become famous on YouTube. That's ridiculous. I'm not saying you. I'm saying the 13-year-old that just died that they're saying is the first YouTube star that died. You're playing in Google's hell pit.
No, I agree, but I've invaded all those.
Make your own place. Make your own. The internet allows you to make your own dynamic, your own universe.
Seventy-four combined years in prison. That's how Iceland's Supreme Court and the Reykjavik District Court respond to those responsible for Iceland's financial collapse. This brings the total to 26 bankers now behind bars in Iceland, with most being CEOs of large financial institutions rather than low-level traders. Most of those jailed will serve terms of 2 to 5 years, according to a report by Iceland Magazine, which notes that 3 executives at Landsbankinn and 2 at Kaupthing, along with 1 prominent investor, have been prosecuted. Their crimes include market manipulation, embezzlement, and breach of fiduciary duties. Their market manipulation destroyed the country's economy, and to this day, Iceland is still having to repay the global loan sharks at the IMF, as well as governments of other countries, which kept the nation operating. Iceland Magazine explains that rather than protect and reward the very institutions responsible for the collapse and the blood-sucking vermin that run them, the Icelandic government let them collapse and then created a financial supervisory authority to strictly oversee the banks. Iceland's President Grimson noted, "Why are the banks considered to be the holy churches of the modern economy? Why are private banks not like airlines and telecommunication companies and allowed to go bankrupt if they have been run in an irresponsible way? The theory that you have to bail out banks is a theory that you allow bankers enjoy for their own profit, their success, and then let ordinary people bear their failure through taxes and austerity. People in enlightened democracies are not going to accept that in the long run." Iceland's President Grimson explained their strategy. "We were wise enough not to follow the traditional prevailing orthodoxies of the Western financial world in the last 30 years. We introduced currency controls. We let the banks fail. We provided support for the poor, and we didn't introduce austerity measures like you're seeing in Europe. While the country's economy is far from what it once was, it has stabilized and is in a position to recover. Meanwhile, the governments of the U.S. and Europe bailed out most of those responsible for playing a direct role in the financial crisis. that crippled the global economy.
Come on, get up! Make the first move! It's my show! Make the first move! Yeah, get up! Get up off your butt! Yeah, go ahead, stand up! Stand up! Come on! Stand up!
Yeah!
Come on, come back!
Don't you dare stand up! Any time it's done to people! Don't you dare stand up!
The U.S. Congress gave American banks a $700 billion TARP bailout at the expense of the taxpayers. Not one banker in the U.S. has even been charged with a crime relating to the financial collapse. There is still virtually no regulation of the banks, and they are pulling in a near record $160 billion in annual profits. All for money created out of thin air. The Department of Justice, under Holder and now Lynch, continues to pretend to do the hard work associated with reining in financial criminal banking institutions laundering drug cartel money. But fines and even penalties don't send the message that the banksters received in Iceland. Jail the bankers, the ones at the top, and free the taxpayers. It may be the most important meme the people of the United States could ever support. Jailing the bankers would bring the New World Order down like a house of cards.
We have a large house plant, please.
All right, let me get that for you.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely one.
I gotta ask you this. It's just a matter of national security. I'm an important person now. Is there a reason you're paying with cash?
I don't understand how that's any of your business.
I have a couple 20s here, so I'm just gonna give you a 20. Is that cool?
Oh my God, they're everywhere. Oh, they're everywhere.
Oh, hold on. I gotta get myself together. I'm Jack.
John Bauer for InfoWars.com.
General, what do you think about the FBI saying that there was a terror alert on Monday about a potential Fort Hood situation?
The police are shoving people, shoving Alex, shoving the crowd.
Here we go, folks, I'm being assaulted.
Whether it's the radio show, the news websites, documentary films, or the nightly news, InfoWars is the tip of the spear.
Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more homeland security while sticking our hands down on pants on the streets?
It's up to us to set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere. And that's what PrisonPlanet.tv is designed to do.
You watch, the Assad regime is going to be blamed or accused of using chemical weapons against the so-called rebels.
What we see now is a war against reality. It's a war against the truth.
It's more vital than ever that supporters of freedom become members of PrisonPlanet.tv and share their membership with up to 11 friends and family. Visit InfoWarsNews.com today. Become a member, share your membership, and help take the InfoWar to the next level.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things. And if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
I had mentioned that they go ahead and vaccinate premature infants on time, meaning that once they are 2 months old, they're ready for their two-month vaccines, regardless of the fact that they may still have supposed to have been inside their mother's stomachs and not even born yet. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that we're seeing and are being said are things like a neonatologist calling from the step-down unit down to level three to the more intensive unit saying, hey, I'm going to give these four babies their two-month vaccines this weekend, so I just want to make sure you had four beds ready because we know they're all going to have issues and need increased care.
And that was bombshell information because that violates one of the core ethics of the medical foundation profession that we've always seen, and that is first do no harm. They knew this was going to harm the children, but they were going to go ahead and blindly or follow this schedule.
Absolutely. You know, and I mentioned that I had sat in a call room before with a bunch of providers saying, hey, we have this 25-weeker that was so strong, they never required intubation with a breathing tube to actually go onto the vent, had a less invasive type respiratory support. And you come in and they're like, oh, how embarrassing. We gave that baby his 2-month immunizations and now he's intubated on the vent for the first time. Oops.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of blown off.
That was amazing. So you told us that on May 1st, and then you contacted me last week and told me about this JAMA study, a Journal of American Medical Association, the official organization of MDs, and here they do a study about the adverse effects after routine immunization of extremely low birth weight infants. Tell us about that study.
Well, first, extremely low birth weight infants are 28 weeks in gestation or less, or under 1,000 grams, approximately 2.2 pounds or less at birth. And you had a group of physicians and a practitioner that went into a database of a large neonatology corporation with almost 14,000 infants looked at. And what the results said were that that they were looking at the pre-immunization period versus the post-immunization period, and their sepsis workups went up 3.7 times in the post-immunization period, and sepsis means a blood infection, and so there was multiple labs drawn blood cultures, urine cultures. They go ahead and they start those babies on antibiotics right away while they wait for results. So it's not a benign thing.
Yeah, it's life-threatening, isn't it?
Right. It's life-threatening. And even if it ends up not being an infection, they've still had pain. They've had invasive procedures, and they've had antibiotics given, which is not a benign thing for these babies that have very sensitive intestines. And so it's a big deal. And then we had increased respiratory support 2 times higher in the post-immunization period. And then intubation, actually getting intubated with a breathing tube and going on the vent, was about 1.7, 1.8 times higher. And what really shocked me, I had to read it about 3 times, was when I got down to the conclusion, they said, based on this, there was no difference in reaction between single shots and combo shots. And so you can just go ahead and keep giving the combo vaccines.
Isn't that amazing? That was the only thing they were concerned about. Can we tweak this a little bit by giving them a combo vaccine or a singular vaccine? No, it doesn't make any difference. So go ahead and do this to them, even though, and to repeat these numbers, 112% increase in respiratory support needed post-vaccine. This is the Journal of American Medical Association saying this. A 257% increase in sepsis. That's a life-threatening infection. Just go ahead and do it because we have to follow this vaccination schedule. That is the most important thing to them, isn't it? It isn't the patient's health. It isn't their suffering. It isn't subjecting them to life-threatening situations. It's sticking to the vaccine schedule.
Right. I mean, just to clarify, they didn't actually have sepsis increase that much, but they are saying that they had that big of an increase in testing, surveying, and starting to treat for sepsis, which basically just says, when I talked in that other interview, that these babies have apnea and bradycardia is a nice example that they're having a hard time, you know, remembering to breathe. And so then their heart rate drops and things like that. That's a lot of what they're seeing, temp instability, inability to tolerate feeds. And so these babies are vastly showing big cues that we're normally extremely concerned about in the pre-immunization period or any time before discharge, because these babies have immune systems that are so underdeveloped that if you wait too long to treat them, they are going to have very bad outcomes and possibly die. But in the post-immunization period, we're seeing an increase in that. And apparently we're not worried because the whole point of the study was to make sure that these babies get vaccinated on time and that it doesn't matter what you're vaccinating with.
You know, when we look at these babies with low birth weights or premature babies, they're really, I think, canaries in a coal mine. We have to look at this and say, if they have this much of an increase in respiratory issues and response to these vaccinations, I wonder personally if there's some connection to SIDS. A lot of people have talked about sudden infant death syndrome and just babies that stop breathing. I wonder if there's, we don't have anything to back that up in this study, but certainly it makes you wonder, makes me wonder when I look at all of these respiratory issues that are caused for these babies that already have a challenged health system.
Well, there's 2 ways to look at it. You know, premature babies are not supposed to be breathing yet. It is normal for them to have some apnea and bradycardia. Just developmental wise and immature neurological systems, but having an increase is always a cue that something is going on. They don't address that in that study. We do have some studies from, I believe, the 50s following the DTaP shot showing increased or just apnea, but also just a vast change in respiratory breathing patterns. And of course, we haven't looked at that in decades, so we really don't have any data currently on that.
You know, it's interesting when I look at this report, Michelle. One of the things they say, laying this out in the abstract, the introduction to it, they say immunization of extremely low birth weight infants in the neonatal intensive care unit is associated with adverse effects. This is a Journal of American Medical Association. They say it includes fever, apnea, brachycardia, the immediate post-immunization period. And then they go to say these adverse events present a diagnostic dilemma for physicians, whether or not they're going to give the injection, the vaccination or not. And as you point out in their conclusion, they go ahead and say, well, let's go ahead and do it because we can't see any difference between a single and a combination vaccine. So let's just go ahead and do this regardless of the health issues. And so, you know, we had you on the first time, we were talking about informed consent because we have bills all across the country lining up to take away our informed consent as patients. And of course, nurses are people, they're patients at certain times as well. And their informed consent and being in the workforce is also very important. But then we move to this issue of first doing no harm, consciously exposing babies to harm because they have to follow this vaccination schedule. Speak to us about what you see happening in ethics across the country in the practice of medicine.
Personal consent is gone. We are all a protocol. We should all line up and be herded through. I'm shocked at this study. I know what goes on. I'm absolutely shocked that it's okay to publish this.
Yeah.
They're kind of standing out there with their pants and their boxers around their ankles, completely clueless that they're flashing the whole nation right now. And it is an ethical dilemma for the providers. Something that's really woven through this study is they're pointing out that they're looking at incidences, and maybe they're looking at incidences of apnea and bradycardia, and they're showing, they're saying, hey, there's a sharp decrease in events in the 3 to 5 days before immunizations, and then they're giving the immunizations and they spike back up. And so they're attempting to call this, they said, so-called healthy vaccine effect. But really what you're seeing is physicians going, how am I supposed to know if this kid is sick or not sick, or if we really are having a problem we need to address, or if it's the vaccines? How am I supposed to be able to discern anything? And that's a very valid question. And so I feel like in that pattern, you do have some people attempting in this environment to do the right thing. And you have this study coming out basically attempting to tell them, please don't think this is what you're supposed to do. And studies show that if we get these vaccines in and on time, on schedule, in the hospital, that we have a much higher chance of getting them done, all of them, outside of the hospital, and this is our primary goal.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right.
Let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is, it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants. And with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war. And Professor, continuing here today, talk about your book. Talk about, you know, the wide-ranging situation that we're dealing with.
So the book really is about what the future of artificial intelligence is going to bring. Most people agree that in the next 20 to maybe 100 years, we're going to see something developed on the level of human intelligence. How is that going to change society? How is that going to impact all of us? My book aims to make sure that the humanity is going to benefit from this technology, not get hurt in some really significant way. So that's essentially the main theme of a book. It discusses ways we can make those technologies safer, hack-proof them, make them serve common people.
Break down for the common person out there exactly the type of scenarios that could unfold and have already unfolded with these systems.
So if you realize the number of different jobs we have outsourced to artificial intelligence systems, they can already control nuclear power plants, airlines, stock trading. Essentially, anything of significance is not done by people anymore. And this trend only gets more and more severe. At some point, we'll have computers controlling everything. And if there is a bug in a system or if an enemy hacks into the system, this could have devastating effects on the whole society.
And, of course, that really, from my research, has been the DARPA plan the whole time. Get the whole world to adopt this system, build back doors into it. The West then builds the giant cybersecurity commands to offensively take over the world, Professor, and then build the back doors in to where they can use it to suppress and track the general public and even predict the future of mass movements. That's basically, from my research, what the Pentagon admits they're doing.
I am not familiar with any insider plans. I can notice things like NSA distributing cryptographic algorithms, which seems like a counterintuitive thing since they're trying to break those. So if there was a backdoor in their hashing algorithm, for example, I wouldn't be surprised.
Professor Yampolsky is our guest, and you can find out more about him by checking out his book, and we'll put a screenshot up on the screen for people that are watching us on television so they can get the name of that book. It's Artificial Superintelligence, a Futuristic Approach. And you can actually see one of the professor's interviews with us right there, Skynet Rising, the AI Threat to Humanity Exists. My issue is, are you more concerned about breakdowns in the system or governments using these to dominate or an actual AI-type artificially aware system coming online, and then that decides to take us out like Terminator?
All of the above. My job is to make sure everybody's safe, so I can't ignore any opportunities, any options. It's easier to study and easier to justify scenarios where someone is hacking into the system externally, something like a self-aware AI system going crazy is really futuristic. We're not quite at that level yet, but something like a government putting a backdoor to control the system, that's quite realistic. That's standard computer security.
What do you think of what Ray Kurzweil has to say? Because for me, it's more like a comic book, the way he puts things out, and he admits he's starting really a new religion. And they're saying you'll either merge with the machines or you'll be stepped on like a bug. And they're selling this utopian view. But when I look at the real technological development and what the establishment says they're really building, it's more in line with something like Elysium, the new movie coming out with Matt Damon.
Kurzweil is probably the world's number one expert in that field. I mean, he's amazing at predicting what future of technology is going to be. He precisely predicted the year a computer will defeat a human chess champion. He predicted a lot of other technologies. He is, in my opinion, somewhat overly optimistic about how beneficial technology will be without spending as much time on possible negative side effects, which I think are just as important. With his recent appointment as head of engineering at Google, he definitely has financial resources and other capacity to make a lot of his dreams come true. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a very successful AI program at Google as a result of Ray Kurzweil's work.
But my issue is the technocrats, I've studied who's running this, and they openly say we may just get rid of everybody once this new level of evolution takes place. We're talking about genocide here and people playing God, and I don't think the public is even aware that Ray Kurzweil is able to predict a lot of what's coming in the future because he's an insider and kind of their front man. He's obviously a very smart, a big inventor. He is basically the public face of what they're planning to do, is my point. I mean, I'm not even an engineer. I go off of what they say they're going to do, and so that's why he knows so much about the goals. I mean, he wants a technocratic world government run by an AI supercomputer where we're reportedly going to be given eternal life by giving up our humanity and merging with machines. Sounds like a nightmare to me.
I want you to kind of lay out for us the two different approaches to AI and kind of get an idea of where we are in terms of current research on this. You disagree with Ray Kurzweil on the eventual outcome. He's someone who thinks that we're going to merge with machines in a kind of cyborg way. He also sees a utopian future. You're very concerned about this in terms of its conclusion, but I think you both kind of are taking the same approach to artificial intelligence, aren't you, in terms of modeling the human brain?
My best friend is Ben Goertzel, and he and Ray Kurzweil, I consider them the two guys. Probably one of those two will be the first, I think, to achieve genuine human-level artificial intelligence. And Ben's way, I call his approach just simply the engineering approach. In other words, do whatever you like. You know, just take some idea and engineer it and see if you can get artificial intelligence out of it. And that's pretty much the approach that artificial intelligence researchers have been taking for, 60-odd years. And they've not been successful. We still don't live in an era of artificially intelligent machines. And the other broad approach is simply copy the brain. Now, we know that approach eventually will pan out because, you know, we only have to look at ourselves as the living proof that it's possible to put molecules together in a certain way and produce an intelligent, conscious creature, you know, ourselves, human beings. We're the living proof that it can be done. Nature has found a way. But the bottleneck with that problem is we don't really know what intelligence is yet. So, we don't have enough knowledge of the detailed structure of the human brain. You know,
that's a good question, Dr. DeGaris, because how do you define intelligence? I mean, I remember decades ago people talking about IBM's chess playing programs and talking about that as being artificial intelligence. That's not really autonomous thinking. That's highly programmed. It's running through a lot of different probabilities and possibilities and doing it in a way that is faster than humans. But it's essentially relying on the programming of humans. It's not autonomous, independent thinking. How would you define artificial intelligence? I think you're talking about something completely different with Artilex, aren't you?
Yeah, well, int- intelligence means just, you know, the ability to solve problems quickly. And the more difficult the problem, you know, by definition, the higher the intelligence. So, you know, my good friend Ben, in fact, will you be interviewing him at some stage?
Yeah, we'd like to. Yes. Future? Yes, we'd like to. Yeah.
Well, if you I don't know if you twist his arm a little, you know, Ben would be very willing. So, Ben's big thing is artificial general intelligence, which sort of answers your question, because today's AI is essentially very narrow. Mm-hmm. It's very specific and detailed, applied artificial intelligence to specific problems. Like Google's probably the best example of AI. But Ben's thing is AGI, with the emphasis on the G, meaning general. So a general artificial intelligence could solve just about anything, right? It would be a master of many, many different approaches to things. And if one approach doesn't work, well, it tries something else and so on until it solves the problem, which is pretty well what we do. We have zillions of modules in our brain that specialize in lots of little tasks, and they combine forces. And if one approach doesn't work, it tries something else until it solves the problem or it gives up.
Hard to do when you're on TV to find a... Yeah! Score! Goal! Goal! I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
There you have it. Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back, it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Do you think that Black Friday has a racist connotation?
Not really.
Honestly, yeah. Thinking about that, I never really thought about it in that way with racist connotations.
I can see how it could be definitely offensive to people. I don't know where my opinion stands on it.
As far as that goes, sorry, I'm just gonna...
I'm not familiar with the historical connotations of Black Friday, so I'm not sure if that question even applies or not. Like, it could not, but I just don't know.
I don't even know what the beginning of Black... What are, like, the beginnings of Black Friday? What is, like, the origin of it?
No one really knows, but there are a lot of things that people are alleging, and it's kind of like a Black Lives Matter concern with this, that it had something to do with slavery, and that they would sell their slaves at a discount in order to, you know, get the plantations filled with workers for the harsh winter.
I think I did hear that before, but I mean, now they do it for discount items.
Every year, this people kind of, they get a little bit offended by it, and so
really?
We...
Really? Yeah. I didn't even know that, dude.
Okay, the problem is, who is being offended? Like, is it, like, the non-black community or is it the black community? Because if the black community is offended, then I would be more for changing it than if, like, someone who wasn't black was offended. You know, because they're the only ones who get to decide whether or not something has offensive connotations to them. Because they're the community that has lived through the historical implications.
Do you think we should rename Black Friday?
No.
No?
No.
Why is that? Have you checked your privilege?
Well, actually, I'm going to reverse that statement. Now that I actually thought it through, I could see where racism would come up.
There should definitely be a new name for it. I'm not sure, but...
Any ideas? Something that would be more color neutral, or...
I mean, I wouldn't go color then, since that's still, like, race implied, I guess.
No, if people agree with that opinion, then yeah, of course, it's not right. But what would they change it to? Do you have any ideas?
African-American Friday.
Okay. That's a good potential.
You gotta have something that has a ring to it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't think of anything that has a ring to it. At least they didn't use the N-word.
The annual Walmart brawl. How about that?
Why would anybody go? It sounds like an awful way to spend a day.
Yeah. Getting beat up. Maybe they call it Black Friday because you have to be like a black belt in karate to, you know.
That could be it.
Discount day. Don't kill each other day. Please.
That's not for me to decide. That's for the community to decide what is and isn't offensive to them and what's in a suitable replacement.
Racist or not racist?
Not racist.
I think people would have to speak up. And if people were to say something... If it was something that was heard by the population, I think people would sympathize with it if it was something that they felt was racist.
So even if it's not necessarily true, though, I see a lot on college campuses right now, a lot of things are happening because of the way people feel, because they're offended, because it's the, you know, it upsets them with the way they feel, even though it might not necessarily be truth or no evidence to it.
If someone is generally finds something, like, offensive, then we should find... Like, the best way to, like, accommodate everyone and the way that we act with each other and the way that we speak, because they're, like, they go kind of hand in hand, I think. So, yeah, if they want something to change, then I think it's for the better.
If it makes people feel better, go for it.
You think this is a smart direction we're going in?
Hopefully it is a smart
feelings
direction.
Over facts?
We should do facts over feelings first, and I hope it is a fact, because we're in a college age. If they don't know what they're talking about, then...
Lower prices and don't kill each other. Everything must go.
As long as it's racist.
Joe Biggs here with Infowars.com. Now, the gun-free UT rally just ended. As you can see, the crowd's about to dissipate. Everyone's starting to move out. Today has been pretty interesting. You've got a lot of speakers, Moms and Men in Action, standing up on the stage over here to my right, who are sitting here calling for free speech, the ability to open a dialogue. Meanwhile, there were two people who were protesting that said they were pro-Second Amendment, who were taken away and arrested just for holding signs.
They're not leaving them. They're going to go and protest.
You're telling
me.
Yes.
You have
your student
ID. Hey, good afternoon.
You are not an authority.
I am an authority.
She's
I'm a student here at UT.
She's an authority for removing me for what reason?
This is reserve space. You can reserve it tomorrow.
You are free to be anywhere in this West Mall except up here.
I'll come down.
We will ask you to leave. If you do not leave,
I would love to report to Lieutenant Bonner.
They immediately grabbed me and arrested me. I did not consent to searches. I do not consent to seizures. This is public property.
Then a professor got up who was a feminist and said that she is not open for debate, but she's open to hear people's opinions, but she doesn't want to debate anything. You know, I had the ability to try and talk to all these gun-free UT students, faculty, whoever was out here with a t-shirt on, random homeless people they found to put a t-shirt on, they paid off. No one would even have a debate because no one has any facts to support why they are here.
Are you guys on open to discussion? UT gun-free campus? Oh, you're not up for debate? Just rather arrest people who have the freedom of speech.
Learn some manners. Some good manners. Your mother would be ashamed.
No, my mother would be super proud. She is proud. That's why I joined the military, Roger, to protect your ability to be able to come out and do this crap. Am I talking
Utah,
real quick?
Somewhere between the rate has fluctuated from 6.6% to 14%.
Anti everybody, are afraid to do anything.
So you can talk to.
People want to take your freedoms away, and they won't even debate or talk.
People have mental health issues where we're all super stressed. I don't think that it's necessary to have guns in those classrooms in such, like...
Well, how uncomfortable would you feel if a shooter comes through your classroom and you're sitting there like, oh, my God, I have this wooden desk?
Well, I would hope that there are, you know, security, campus security.
I don't know if you've ever seen any of these shootings that go on, but usually it takes a few minutes, and by then there's a body count.
Okay.
You don't want anyone in there to have the ability to be able to maybe take that guy out?
I mean, if that was... I would rather security handle it, if that's the case.
Campus security?
Yes.
They're not highly trained.
Or cops. I'd rather we go into a lockdown situation.
Why cops only? Because you think cops are highly trained?
You know, I don't know the statistics on it, but
I'm
just
saying your personal opinion. Do you think cops are highly trained to be able to handle that?
I think cops are trained. Like,
what about the cop who killed Sam DeBose for not having a license plate?
I don't know about
that. What about the cop who killed Kelly Thompson? Well, no, I'm interviewing her. How you stay over there?
This isn't really interviewing me. You're more just like badgering me, and I'd appreciate it if you got out of my face.
Oh, now she says something. Now
I'd rather you just get out of my face.
That'd be good. Thank you. It's my freedom to be here.
All right, it's my freedom to say go.
Right on. I'm gonna stay here.
All right, nice to see you.
Guns. All right, well, I'll let you say why you're here, and I won't say anything. Okay. All right, so tell me why you're here today.
I'm heavily against campus carry. I feel uncomfortable with the idea of students having guns. I don't think arming more people prevents violence. The rape statistic really hit close to home for me. I just don't think it's moving in the right direction.
So do you think only police officers should be armed?
I don't like speaking like in this kind of sense much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, the people who are for campus carry have a wealth of knowledge and know why they're here and have facts to back it up.
Look, with a concealed handgun license, you can carry everywhere else in the state of Texas. I can carry it in malls. I can carry the grocery store and movie theaters. I can carry in the bank. There's no reason why I should not be able to carry inside of a building of a college campus. So all of a sudden, a person that gets a concealed handgun license, they're just not going to go crazy when they cross the threshold of a college campus.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and then most people here are going to be 18 to 20 years old. So you're not going to have a lot of people anyways. You got to be 21 to have a CHL. So everyone thinks everyone's going to be running and gunning, and it's just going to be this huge, like, okay, corral fight or something.
Right. And I like how they close their little ceremony here by saying that, you know, we had an awesome gun-free event. Well, that's not true at all because I'm carrying two guns on me right now. So, and I'm standing on the street sidewalk, walkway, parking lot, or garage of this campus. It's totally legal with a concealed handgun license to carry a gun.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these And it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.